The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
The Eric Stewart Show. This is Pointing You Home.
Pointing You Home.
All you need to know about buying, selling, and everything in between. Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, Washington. I'm Eric Stewart, the host of your show, and today we're going to talk about what are the obligations of a real estate agent when it comes to representing the condition of a property. When you're selling a piece of real estate and you're a real estate agent, you are responsible to disclose what you know and what you should know about a property. Interesting that I would use that should know, isn't it? Think about it. Of course, when a seller tells you that they've got water penetration in the basement, you're responsible for disclosing it. But are you responsible for knowing that a home that was built in 1985 might have polybutylene piping or might have FRT plywood, which were commonly used at that time? As a real estate agent, you are responsible. You need to become aware as a realtor what the overall construction consistencies were at the time that the home that you are selling was built. Not all homes had those issues. It was predominantly in homes that I noticed that were built by Ryan Homes built back in 1987 when I first got into the real estate business. This is my 33rd year. I'll be celebrating the start of my 34th year in just a few weeks. And I really think that the responsibility to disclose condition issues for a real estate agent is a critical part of the success in the business in consistently having a good reputation. Exaggeration, misrepresentation, or concealment of pertinent facts regarding the property is a violation of Article 2 of the Code of Ethics. We are expected to discover and to disclose reasonably apparent adverse facts that concern any transaction. Quick story, I was selling a home. And this is a home that was built by Pulte Corporation. It was a pretty well-built 1972 single-family home. And after I put the home on the market and I was at the house showing it to a buyer, I walked into the basement and the buyer asked me a question and said, well, has the home ever had termites? And I said, no, but I know where to look. And I walked up to the front wall, which would be just below where the front stoop of the home is. And I said, normally, this is where termites come into a house. And the reason that they normally come in at the front stoop is that after years of degrading plywood and lumber and other things that are thrown into that hole that goes in where the front stoop of a house is, the termites just have a field day, but they get tired of that wood. In fact, they just kind of eat it all and then they need more. And so they build tunnels up the face of your home and enter in oftentimes into the hardwood floors of your foyer or your living room or into the walls of your home and can do considerable damage. You can imagine in my career, I've seen tens of thousands of dollars of damage done by termites, but not that often. I was in the basement of that house and I noticed up at the front, I said, see, right up here, I pointed up and I used my key for my car and I said, you would be able to poke a hole into your 2x12 here. And I noticed that my key penetrated the board and that there were tunnels, what are wood boring tunnels. This is essentially what happens. A termite decides that it is hungry in whatever mind it has and it starts. Every day, it has to go back to the earth, to the soil, in order to get moisture. It climbs up through this tunnel, which keeps it moist, and climbs into the house and eats the wood and then goes back. Every day, it has to go back to the soil every day. So when that termite came into this home and it caused that damage and I became aware of it and the buyer was standing there, I said, oh, and the buyer said, what? And I said, well, I have discovered, I think, termite damage here in this area. And they said, really? Yeah. And I then took my phone and I turned the flashlight of my phone on and I faced it towards those boards and I was able to show them where this was. And they said, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, fortunately, this is not that serious based on my experience, but it's going to have to be addressed. You have an issue here where the boards have been compromised. It may just be aesthetic, but we will need a licensed carpenter to come in to do an evaluation. And sure enough, the 2x12 joists that supported the first floor that were sitting and resting. And you, if you've ever been in your basement, of course, you look up at the ceiling, you have these joists that sit oftentimes 16 inches apart, maybe 18 or 20 inches apart, and they rest upon what is called the sill of your basement. Now I'm going to draw a picture in your mind, and I want you to stick with me. Your basement is kind of like a bathtub that is stuck into the ground. And if you think about putting boards across the bathtub top, where boards rest on one side of the bathtub and reach across and rest on the other, that's similar to what is happening in this circumstance. You have these 2x12 boards that are resting on the top of the poured concrete edge of this basement. And then it goes across, it spans across to the middle of the basement and rests on a steel I-beam, which runs down the middle of the house that supports the center of the home. In order to handle the termite issue, and once I gave disclosure, the buyer, first of all, was not my client. They're a customer because I represented the seller in this situation. By doing this, I was able to generate a buyer who was interested in buying the home, ended up buying the home and working with me, even though I represented the seller, because they could tell that I was fair and I was honest and I was ethical, which is my obligation under the National and the Maryland and Virginia DC Association of Realtors. Being honest is critical. And so exaggerating or misrepresenting or concealing pertinent facts regarding a property will get you not only a lost license, but will obviously lose you potential business. In this case, the buyer felt more comfortable working with me than getting their own agent. They thought, well, this guy's going to be honest with us. In the second half of today's show, I'm going to talk a bit about agency relationship and what a listing agent can do to help a buyer purchase in a contract. But let me continue the story of this broken aesthetic or broken actual structural beam that runs from the steel I-beam of the basement that runs down the middle of the house out to the wall underneath the front stoop that I was just chatting about. In order to secure and make sure that the floor does not sag, another 2x12 board was added to the side of the board and was screwed into the board using what are called lag bolts. These are large bolts. A hole is drilled through the existing 2x12 in multiple locations. A new 2x12 is then sistered, which is a word to describe. It's put up against the existing board with the holes matching the holes of the pre-existing one. And now you put in lag bolts across and through both of these 2x12s. And then the bolts on the back end are tightened using hexagonal nuts. And essentially, you marry the affected board to a brand new board, and both boards are now resting on the sill, on the proverbial top of that bathtub sitting in the ground, as I said before. That concept is you now have released the weight obligation of the house on the affected board, and you've moved it over to the new board that has full integrity. Now, exaggeration, misrepresentation, or concealment of pertinent facts has been a conversation throughout my career. And every time I take a listing, whether it's one of my new listings, I've just taken an absolutely stunning listing on Calder Road in McLean, Virginia for $2.15 million. It's a stunning single family home on a gorgeous level lot. If you are looking to be literally a stone's throw. And I mean, you don't have to be Superman to throw this stone. You can walk into the town of McLean and grab your groceries and walk home. You can walk to the Potomac School. You can, if you work at the CIA, you're not too far. You can get into DC in about 12 to 13 minutes. It's really an exceptional single family home on Calder Road that has four bedrooms and four full bathrooms upstairs. All baths are in the bedrooms. And we call that en suite, which is a French word. En is E-N and suite is S-U-I-T-E. That's what 7 years of French will get you. Thank you, Landon School and College, for that education. En suite, you know, you put a bathroom into the bedroom so everybody has their own private bathroom. It's quite wonderful. The current owners added an exceptional screened-in porch off the back of the home, high ceilings, beautiful hardwood floors, first floor office space, full basement with a walk up to the backyard, and an oversized two-car garage. And I say oversized, you could fit two motorcycles and two cars into this garage. It's that big. It's really a stunning single-family home. And if you want to check out the virtual tour for this property at ericstewartgroup.com. I walked through the property with the owners when I went to meet with them and discussed our pricing and strategy. And hello, Ellen, by the way. Thank you for listening. And I think the House bears absolutely no issues whatsoever that I could tell. Nothing that I know or should know about the property would need to be disclosed. And this is critical when you are selling a home, that you bring in the truth at the beginning. Well, speaking of a little bit of truth, it's time actually for me to segue away from that home. Check it out, by the way, again, at ericstewartgroup.com. That's the house on Calder Road in McLean, Virginia. And my friend Stuart Rosenthal joins me. Good morning, Stuart. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. Doing well. And yourself?
Good. Hey, I hear you have an article about how to deal with not to overeat when you're stressed. And everybody's doing Zoom and all this kind of thing right now. It's easy to nibble away at stuff. What do you have about that?
Totally. We're all under stress and we can be bored because there's not many things to do. When you're stressed, your body releases two hormones, cortisol and ghrelin, which are hunger hormones. They make you hungry. So it's totally natural. What you need to do is, among other things, take your mind off of it. So here are a few suggestions. Make a to-do list of some things that are both productive and fun, and then pick one or two of them to do when you decided you're a little bit hungry, and see if that doesn't take your mind off of what you're doing and take you away from the eating impulse. Another thing is, if you feel hungry, say, I need to work out a little bit first, and do a 10-15 minute workout and see if that doesn't, again, take away the appetite a little bit, or if not, at least it burns some calories, so it makes it less difficult if you're going to be eating more than you should. Another suggestion is to go outside, get some fresh air. We're running out of time. I don't want to go anymore. There are lots more suggestions on the story. Just take a look at it in this month's September Beacon.
Great. Read about it in the Beacon newspapers at thebeaconnewspapers.com. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
Good insight, as always. Agency relationship and representation and how to work with a buyer when you're working for the seller right after this.